Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to this piece of God's kingdom. Small and tall, old and young. For me, this Sunday brings a special joy. It's the first time in about 2 years that I've been well enough to lead worship again. And it's lovely standing up here and looking out at you all. If you'll please join me in reading the call to worship, we'll be doing that in unison, and it's printed in your order of worship. O God, we come before you today with gratitude. Gratitude for the opportunity to share with each other and to give to each other. Gratitude for the example of Jesus, who teaches us to love our neighbors and serve those around us. Please open our eyes to new visions of service and faithful living. Thank you for the opportunity to expand our hearts, our community, and our lives through grace. Amen. I've recently been working on an effort with a good number of people. It's an uphill battle, and yesterday a coworker came to me and said at a moment of despair or perhaps low blood sugar, "This is useless. We'll never get across the finish line." And I pointed out to her that our efforts aligned with our values and our ethics, and that while we might not go to the promised land, that we were planting seeds that might bear fruit in a couple years. We have experienced great joy in the effort together. We have been lighting this peace lamp ever since March 2003, when the United States invaded Iran. And we've been doing this with hundreds of other churches in North America. We're still at war in the Middle East, and now there's saber rattling with Iran. No peace, despite our prayers. Medical teams, because of war and the suspicions of villagers, cannot administer Ebola vaccines and safely bury the victims in eastern Congo. People are in despair at our southern border. We work to help, and we also pray. Work and prayer are never futile. We may not see instant results, but the effort is worthwhile. Reaching out to the divine is sacred. It fills our hearts and the hearts of those we pray for and with. For the last 2 years, many of my prayers have simply been help, trust, gratitude. So I light the peace lamp this morning with those prayers.
Good morning. Please rise and turn to number 51 in the hymnal and worship book. Number 51. Let the whole creation cry.
Oh,
Wonderful. Now go ahead and turn to number 89 in the same book. Number 89, For the Beauty of the Earth.
It is our custom every Sunday morning to welcome those of you who are visiting. If you're here by yourselves and you feel brave enough, please stand and tell us your name and where you're from. If you're here with hosts, perhaps they will do the honors. We have microphones on both aisles, side aisles of the sanctuary. So if you'll put your hand up or stand up, they'll bring a microphone to you.
Very happy to have a couple friends and family join us for Everett's dedication. We have Mary and her son Elias, who's one of Everett's best friends, Mandy, and they both live in town. Lara's parents, Dave and Joyce, who live here in town, and my mother Carla, who has come all the way from Mexico, where her and my dad are doing a temporary work assignment. We are also thinking of our other parents, my dad down in Mexico, and Lara's mom in Colorado.
Hi, good morning, everyone. I'm Steve Soule. I'm here with my wife, Addie, and we're here with Micah and Bethany and the boys for Timothy's dedication. We're from Vermont.
Is there anyone else Well, it's wonderful seeing friends and families here. Paulette McLean is going to read our first scripture reading. Scripture reading is from John 13, verses 31 to 35. It's found on page 877 in your pew Bible. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so I say now to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." So I invite all you children to come on down front here to meet with Kate.
Come on over, Everett. Good morning, Lily. Let's see. Elias? Is this Elias? Good morning, everybody. We have a lot going on this morning, and you guys have an important role to play, so I'm glad you're here. I don't know if you just listened to that scripture that Paulette read, but one of the lines, Jesus said he was with his friends finishing up a meal, and he said, "I want you to know there's something new. And if you remember one thing," he said, "everybody will know you're a follower of mine if you show love to one another." He said, "This is new. If you show love to one another, everybody will know that you're a friend of mine." So I've been thinking about that. What does it mean to show love for one another? So to care and help. Like, what's an example, Ben, of caring and helping for one another? Should we ask somebody else if they have an idea? Anybody have an idea of how you might show that you care about somebody? Yeah.
Giving a hug.
That's an easy thing. Yeah. Giving a Valentine's. Giving a card. Showing some way. Yeah. Those are great ideas. What else? Amy?
I gave a card to her.
You gave a card to each other. Yep. Well, I hear some plastic bags and I hear some coins rattling. Like, we've been thinking the last couple weeks about these kids in what country? Who remembers? Do you remember what country? Benin. Benin's in Africa. And a couple weeks ago, Fran told us a story about Mauli. Mauli was really wanting to go to school and saving money. And so we have been saving money over the weeks. Well, I learned that, let's see, here, look in here with me. We have some dollar bills, we have some coins. So it takes about, let's see, it takes two of these, it takes $10 to buy a stack of books for their school where Mauli goes. It takes $100 about for somebody like Mauli to go to school for a whole year. So to me, that seems like another way of showing her who I'm probably never going to meet her. You're probably never going to meet her. But it's saying, we love you, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
We can do things like that and say, we love you. So we're going to take one more offering today. Here, I have these two. So you guys that have banks can put things in here. And the two people want to go around?
You what? Look how much money
I have. Look at how much you have. That is awesome. Do you have some to put in? Should we give that to somebody else to empty while you go and collect? Lots. Jonas, will you help me put this in? Thanks. Thanks for bringing that, Daniel. What's that?
Grandma brought it.
Grandma brought it. Good old grandma. Thanks, Elias. So this is a way of showing that we love kids that we don't even know. So I think, Meredith, is it right that these guys can keep these banks? So you guys can keep these banks in your house. Collect for other people, collect for whatever. But stay up here. We're not quite done with children's time. We're going to wait for these guys to come back. Woo, look at that. I see lots. I see lots of love in here. Did you know that love can look like a dollar bill? Because it's sharing with people we don't even know. Hey, Will. He wants to come be a part of it. You can play with that. Well, why don't you guys have a seat again? Because I want to talk about other ways that we love. Once Lily's got her thing. So this is going to be collected and put together. And the check's going to be written. And this is going to be a way of showing the kids at Casa Grande in Benin that we love them. But like I said, we're probably never going to see them. But we have something special today. We have Everett here. We have Will. Timothy's in the back. What are we doing today with them? Do you guys know?
Well, we're having...
We're dedicating them, aren't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, you guys have been here before. Well, to dedicate means to commit. It means we're making a promise. So today, when we dedicate these three guys, we as a church are promising and saying, we stand beside you as parents and as families, as brothers. We stand beside you in raising your children or your sibling as a child of God. And you guys are closest in age to these guys. So when we talk about showing love for one another, you guys have a super important role to play. How do you think you might show love to Will and Everett and Timothy over the years?
Well, I might start... I'm going to start helping my brother tomorrow.
Yeah. Yep. We can help in lots of different ways. Like sometimes it's just as kind as giving a hug if somebody looks sad. Or maybe picking up a toy and helping them find something. Like finding your giraffe if you lose your giraffe. Right, Everett? It might just be saying, come and join us. Come play with us. That there are all kinds of way of saying, you belong here, and we love you. So I'm going to ask, yep, that was full, wasn't it, Everett? I'm going to ask you guys to be a part of this dedication today, because I want you guys, each of you, to also commit to being a part of the lives of Will and Everett and Timothy. Because our job as a church community is to say, you matter in God's eyes, and you matter in our eyes, and we love you. So we're going to move into the dedication, but I invite you guys, and if a parent wants to come forward to be with anybody, but if you guys want to stay up front here and be a part of it, you're welcome to, because you are an important part of saying to these three boys, we love you and we welcome you into this fellowship. So let's have a prayer to end children's time. Oh God, we thank you that you call us to love and that there are so many ways to show our love. Thank you for each child here, for children all over the world, for the children in Benin who will receive these gifts. We thank you for Everett, for Will, for Timothy. May we, each one of us here, show your love, and in showing your love, show that we love you, O Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. So I'm going to invite you guys, if you want, to sit up front here to be a part of the dedication. And if you don't want, you can go back to your seat. Okay, wherever you want to be. Should we put these on the side? And I invite now the Rooks and Mark, if you want to join us. The Schoenbergs, you guys want to come on up?
I might stay up here, but I might go get a little snack.
You do what you need to. While these guys are coming up front, I invite you to turn to number 616 in your hymnal. We are going to be singing one verse of that song after each child is individually dedicated. So just have 616 open. I always say you can't have a good family picture without one child screaming. So we welcome that, however it happens. Well, welcome to all of you. So glad you're here. Look at this. What a joyous celebration. Because this is a time that you as parents and we as a congregation commit to one another. Commit the lives of Everett, of Will, of Timothy Roy to God. That's what this is all about. That we commit to God, but we commit to one another. In a minute, we'll be reading in the back of the hymnal where it talks about, as a congregation, we promise to join you in the nurture and well-being of your child. And so this dedication is a time of you committing that your household is dedicated to the work of the Lord in raising your son. And we dedicate ourselves to the joyous journey of doing it with you. So, may God be praised in all of this. I'm going to invite each of you, and maybe we'll start. Would it be easiest to start with you guys so that if Will totally melts down? Do you want to go first? Each family is invited to just say a few words about their child, and some of them have a scripture verse, and then we'll see what a blessing looks like. Here, would you come over and use the mic.
Yes, I'm sure. All right, I wanted to start by just sharing a little bit about Will and his name. So he's named William Y. Minnick, after my late father, who was William Y. Williams. And my dad's, actually, the Y was just an initial. It didn't stand for any name. So when we named him, we wanted him to have the same name, as a beloved family member, but also was something a little bit unique. So Will's name is actually W-Y-E-Y. It's an old English name, so that we were able to take an old family name and make it something new. And he really reminds me of that just in life as well. So there's these little ways in which we see pieces of my dad and other family members, like how he makes a face when he wakes up from a nap, or how he laughs, but then also ways in which he's just his own unique little person. Mark, did you want to talk about that a little
bit? Oh, he's just, he's so curious and silly and into everything, always busy, as you can see.
And then we just wanted to sort of proclaim the scripture verse over his life, Romans 15:13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you believe in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
And why don't we just move into the center of the congregation so all of you can be a part of this blessing of William. William Y, I like that. I don't think we'll tempt fate. Maybe I shouldn't take him. But Will, may you know that you are known and loved by God and by the people of this congregation that surround you. May you know it deep in your bones as we nurture you and watch you grow. Teach us your curiosity. And Will, may the Lord bless you and may the Lord keep you. And may the very face of God shine upon you and lead you in the ways of peace. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Verse 1. Thanks. Laura and Matt, you want to come on up?
Okay. Well, with today's service being focused on gratitude, I think one of the things that we've thought about in regards to Everett is that it took us a little while to conceive him. We went through a couple years of struggle and you know, it was a faith-challenging time. And you know, he's a testament to God's faithfulness, and we know that going forward, part of what this dedication is about is also trusting that we know that God knows him and loves him more than we even could, as unimaginable as that is, and that we can trust God with his life in his hands. the other part I wanted to share was a scripture, and Everett has several names. He has two middle names. Everett means strong or brave, like a boar, and I think he's lived up to that. I think we knew he would from the time he was in utero. But he also has my name, Matthew, which means God's gift, and he certainly is that. And then his other middle name that was kind of a last-minute one, but we felt moved to, and that was Daniel. And we are inspired by Daniel's example in Scripture of his conviction, his courage, his wisdom. And Daniel lived in tumultuous times of empires rising and falling, and he stood firm in his faith. So the Scripture that I want to speak over Everett comes from Daniel 10, and this is a pretty cool story of when Daniel gets visited by an archangel, I believe, a messenger from God, and preceding a vision he has, right? So the verse is, "Don't be afraid," he said, "for you are very precious to God. Peace, be encouraged, be strong." Then as he spoke the words to me, I suddenly felt stronger and said to him, "Please speak to me, my Lord, for you have strengthened me." So this is Daniel narrating. And obviously this is a particular message to Daniel from God, but the message is spoken throughout Scripture. Don't be afraid, especially when we have a very physical encounter with God. So, I think don't be afraid, be encouraged, be strong, peace, are words we want to speak over Everett, but I think is meaningful for all of us throughout our lives. So that's the word.
Do you think he'll come?
Yeah.
Everett, will you come to me for a sec? Can we take your giraffe for a walk? Because I want you to come and be right in the middle of everybody, you and your giraffe. Yep. So may you look at Everett, and Everett, may you look around and see all these people, and may you know, Everett, may you know deep in your bones that you are loved by God and loved by this congregation. These people are your family. And Everett, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the very face of God shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God make you fearless in his sight. And may you live in peace. And all God's people said,
Amen. Amen.
Verse 2. Can you look around and see everybody here? Thanks, buddy. Do you want to stay sitting?
Timothy loves the sheep and the lambs, Fred the donkey, birds, cats, bugs, tractors, trucks, and carts. He loves books, food, and wrestling. He loves when I put him in the backpack and play my guitar. He loves outside. Timothy loves people and learns their names quickly and addresses them by name. Timothy likes to call out my name when I'm in a different part of the house. I call out his name in response, and we go back and forth like a game of Marco Polo. Timo! It's fun and silly, but for him there's a serious edge to it. He actually really wants to make sure I'm still around. Timothy, I pray that you will come to know and love God. God is the hidden power behind all things that, to our amazement, turns out to be loving and kind and good. I pray that you will learn his name and call it out continually as you grow older.
And I'll just say a word about Timothy's name as well. The morning after Timothy was born, I was in the hospital reading Psalm 103. We didn't have a name for him yet. We had chosen Roy for his middle name after our beloved friend and mentor, Roy Brubaker, who was part of this congregation, as well as Micah's grandfather. But we weren't sure about a first name, and I was reading Psalm 103, and I just had this vision of a pasture of grass with the sun shining on it. And so we named Timothy for the Timothy grass, as well as for one who honors God, which is what the name means. And here's his scripture, Psalm 103. As a father has compassion on his child, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts.
Shall we walk together down the aisle? Will he come? Will you come to me for a sec, Timothy? Do you know my name? I'm Kate. If I say Timo, someday you'll learn it. And may you learn. Yeah? May you know, Timothy, that this whole group of people here knows your name. That God knows your name, And may you know, Timothy, deep in your bones, that you are known and loved by God, that you are known and loved by these people here.
Dada.
Yep, and by Dada. Timothy, may the Lord bless you and may the Lord keep you.
Mama.
May the Lord watch over you, watch over your mama and papa, your Ben and your Daniel.
Papa.
And may you be led in God's peace. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Verse 3. We're going to have one more blessing. All right, we're finishing up. Turn to number 791. We are going to read this. This is your way of committing to these children. And then we will sing the final verse of 616. So let's read together. You have offered your child to the strong and tender providence of God. We rejoice with you and give thanks for the gift of your child. We promise with humility and seriousness to share in your child's nurture and well-being. We will support, by our example and words, your efforts to provide a loving and caring home where trust in God grows and Christ's way is chosen. Our prayers will be with you and for you. May our shared life and witness help make your task both joyful and fruitful. Amen. Verse 4. Thank you. You guys can go back to your seats.
If you look in your bulletin, there's an insert for Psalm 148. I'm going to read this out loud, but you may wish to read it silently as I go along. Psalm 148, as written by Nan Merrill. Praise the Blessed One. Give praise from the heavens and from the ends of the earth. Give praise, all you angels, angels of earth and of heaven. Give praise, sun and moon. Give praise, all you shining stars. Give praise, all universes, the whole cosmos of creation. Praise the Blessed One, for through love all was created and firmly fixed forever and ever. Yes, the pattern of creation was established. Give praise to thee, Beloved, all the earth, all that swim in the deep, and all the winged ones in the air. Give praise, all mountains and hills, all trees and all minerals. Give praise, all four-legged and all that creep on the ground. Leaders of the nations and all peoples, young and old, give praise. United together in all your diversity, that peace and harmony might flourish on earth. Let all people praise the Beloved, who is exalted in heaven and on earth, whose glory is above heaven and earth. For all are called to be friends, companions to the true friend, giving their lives joyfully as co-creators and people of peace. Praise be to the Blessed One, the very breath of our breath, the very heart of our heart.
It's a morning with a lot of gratitude and praise in it. I know as we transition from that time of lots of life up front to spending a few minutes of thinking in a different way, I could use a full breath, a receiving of the Spirit, a letting God's blessing flow into each one of us. Pray with me. O Lord, may the words of my lips and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Well, it may be sunny and warm this morning, but if you remember Monday, it was cold and rainy. And I rode my bike here. And on my way home, I pulled back on my rain pants, pulled back on my rain jacket, and I set out, and my helmet. I know Mary wouldn't let me forget my helmet. And I was pretty grumpy. I was riding home and just grumbling, like, it's mid-May, it's not supposed to be cold, it's not supposed to be like this. And I was just really irritable. And I was going up that last hill through campus, and I looked down, and I saw my legs pumping away, and I said, thanks God for these legs of mine. The rain was still pouring down. I said, thank you that I have this bicycle with brakes. Thank you, God, that I have a car that I can drive when I want to. Thank you that I have a house that I'm going home to. Thank you, thank you, thank you. The weather was still miserable, but I was different by the time I got home. I was literally singing a song of thanks. So I parked my bike, and I went out back to the garden because I wanted to pick some kale for dinner. Went out to my kale patch, and the groundhog had just mowed it down. Man, that joy was gone. I was like, where is that groundhog? Let me get at him. Like, it was gone. I said, okay, that joy that was there a moment ago, it's a discipline. This idea of giving praise. We hear in this psalm today that the command of all of creation, from the heavens to the depths and everything in between, is to give praise. Praise is when we move from being focused narrowly on ourselves, on that kale patch that's been decimated, and we expand it. We expand it to see how God is evident in the everydayness of the world. What can I be grateful for? It's a moving to a place of noticing. When we notice gratitude, it changes us. Well, I don't know if you've heard the word resiliency lately. It's kind of become a buzzword. And gratitude is considered to be one facet of resiliency. I found myself thinking of my dad, who never spoke of the trauma he experienced as a teenager living in Germany during World War II. But he was a man who was quietly resilient. Gratitude was very subtly what guided him. And one of the things he loved most was plants, had the greenest thumb of anyone I knew. And he would say about certain plants, especially geraniums, one of his favorites, he would say, they're thankful. They're such a thankful plant. They give much and they require little. So may even the geraniums give praise to God. Resiliency is defined as the ability to cope with adversity. To cope with adversity, to find our way through challenges and to pursue opportunities. Self-worth, kindness, determination, gratitude, they're what make us resilient. Neuroscientist and author Rick Hansen says, the harder a person's life, the more challenges a person has, the less the outer world is helping that person, and the more important it is to develop inner resources. He talks about that we develop this inner resource of gratitude or of compassion really in two stages. The first is that we experience it, we savor it, like feeling grateful that I had a warm house or that I have asparagus to pick, because groundhogs don't seem to like that. This feeling grateful is what's called activation. And the second stage that's equally as important is called installation. It's where we take that experience and really have it live within us, have it move into our nervous system, and that's what brings true healing. Because there's this saying that neurons in our brain that fire together wire together. So we need to do this work, this constant work of coming back to gratitude, coming back to well-being, to name it and to feel it in our bodies. It's a discipline just like training any muscle in our body. And it's really something worth learning. But thankfulness or gratitude is not about minimizing or denying illness or loss or injustice. It's not about saying no to any of those things. It's simply making space to appreciate what is also true. It's again that widening of our field of awareness. Life is hard. Bad things happen. But developing the discipline of gratitude isn't ignoring all of that. Brother David Steindl Rast, a Benedictine monk who has spent most of his life studying the spiritual impact of gratitude, when someone asked him, "Can you be grateful for everything?" he says, "No, but you can have gratitude in every moment. You can come back to this moment and be grateful for God's presence." Well, there are studies that show that our brains are wired in such a way that we can't be in a state of appreciation and a state of fear at the same time. That those two states might alternate, but they're mutually exclusive. So when we are in a state of appreciation and gratitude, fear is not in us for that moment. But there's a writer that I read about. Therese is her name. Therese says, "Yes, but gratitude and depression," she says, "they have been so intertwined for her." And I want to recognize that and name that this is not a kuna matata, be happy all the time. Therese has lived with major depression for much of her life, battling with suicidal tendencies, doing the hard work of remaining present. And she says, "I thank God many times throughout the day. But if at the end of my prayer I'm still depressed, that's okay. That's just the way it is." She says it's a discipline she returns to over and over, this strengthening her capacity to see God's presence in all things. But what happens to us when we focus on giving praise, when we notice it and give thanks for even the little things in life? Someone I know calls that being Easter people. When we live as Easter people, we notice and give thanks. And I want to tell one last story, because giving thanks, expressing gratitude, changes us, and it has the potential of changing others as well. But first, hear again these words from the psalm. "Praise the Blessed One, for through love all was created and firmly fixed forever and ever. Give praise, all mountains and hills, all trees and all minerals. Give praise, all four-legged and all that creep on the ground. For all are called to be friends, companions to the true friend, giving their lives joyfully as co-creators and people of peace." So the last story I want to share is about a writer named A.J. Jacobs. A.J. started to give thanks before his meals, and he'd get really specific, saying things like, "I thank the farmer who grew these tomatoes, and the trucker who drove them to the store, and I give thanks for the cashier at the grocery where I bought these tomatoes." He developed that practice with his family, and one day his 10-year-old son said, "You know, Dad, those people can't hear you. They're not in our apartment with us. They were in New York City. If you really care, you should go thank them in person." And so it set AJ on a quest. And he decided to focus on just one thing, his beloved morning cup of coffee. The quest took him months. It took him around the globe, filling him with awe, with concern, and he says with caffeine jitters like he has never had. But AJ learned that to thank properly, he'd really have to notice the radical interconnectedness, because he realized that the coffee beans are driven to his local cafe in a van, so he had to thank the van driver. But he couldn't do that. The van driver couldn't drive without the road, so he went and thanked the pavers. And the road would be dangerous without those yellow lines, so he thanked the folks who made the paint. And on and on. He literally ended up thanking over 1,000 people in more than a dozen countries, some face to face, some by email or over the phone. The discipline of giving thanks, untangling this interconnected web of his morning coffee, reminded him to notice the hundreds of things that go right every day, as opposed to the 3 or 4 that he had been noticing that go wrong. He heard stories from baristas in New York City to the growers of the coffee in Colombia, many who had never been thanked and were deeply moved. Being noticed and having someone say thank you changes us. AJ says it doesn't take a village to make a cup of coffee. It takes the world. So living in a stance of seeing life as gift is a choice we make. It's a discipline to return to throughout our days. It's a noticing. Noticing the little aspects of our lives and giving thanks to God again and again. The psalmist was really onto something in calling all things, the heavens and the creatures here below, to praise God. To praise God. In a moment, we'll have a few moments of silence, but I've asked a few people to just simply bring a song that has been with me all week. If you saw me riding my bike, you might have heard me singing it. So as we hold the complexity, the joys, and the sufferings of our lives, may we continue to practice the discipline of giving praise. Amen.
Thank you. We'll now take the offering.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy
faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you that we can always trust in you. You are an abundant God, and out of your great mercy, you have given us so much. We give you this offering today. With it, we worship you and give our whole selves to you. Please now take it and use it for your kingdom and your glory. Extend and multiply its reach. An influence, we pray. May it be a great blessing to many. We ask all this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.
Please turn to number 526 in the Mennonite hymnal, number 526 in the Rifted Rock. We'll sing verses 1 and 3.
See you.
You've probably had time to read the announcements in the bulletin, but I'm going to emphasize one, and if one hasn't been in there or you want to emphasize one too, feel free to stand up and do that. We are having a business meeting tonight, folks, and this is a really important one. We're having election for church offices, including a female elder. We're also going to be working on the budget, so I urge you to come. Karen, did you want to add anything to that? Okay, thank you. Oh, that's it, 6:30 or 7? 6:30. 6:30, folks. No one else? Okay. I'm sorry, I forgot those. Do we have any other birthdays or anniversaries? All right, let's sing Happy Birthday to Noah. If you'll rise, please, for the benediction and remain standing for the sending hymn. Beloved of God, place your whole trust in God's absolute abundant love. Feel the powerful presence of God in your life and know that God's blessings are with you. Go in peace, and may God's peace always be with you.
Okay? Sing it in unison. Praise God from whom all blessings
go in peace.